Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share strategies and protocols and frameworks. I talk about the things that worked for me, but also those big epic fails that I made along the way, and all because I believe that teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential so that they are empowered for an unpredictable future. And before we get started, I just want to say a couple things. First of all, if you have not subscribed to my newsletter, go to spencereducation.com. Up at the very top, you'll see a newsletter menu item. Just click on that, sign up. You'll get my latest articles and podcast episodes and resources for free in your inbox. Also, if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, go to spencervideos.com and you will see my YouTube channel, and you'll get the latest access to my YouTube content. And then also, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has bought The Depth Advantage, my most recent book. And to anyone who has left a review, that means the world to me when you do that. So thank you so much for that. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's topic, which is all about this idea of taking creative risks. As the year begins, we are all thinking of the idea of building a classroom community. Although I'm no longer at the K-12 level, I am reminded of the power of community as I think about the cohort I lead that's now in their practicum and the new cohort that I just met last week. So as a college professor, I get to work with all of these really cool future educators. And with that in mind, I'm thinking about this idea of community building and creative risk taking. So let's think about what it means to take creative risks with your students. And to get there, I want to share a quick example of something called the new teacher card. So when I was a first year teacher, I had this amazing mentor teacher named Nancy. And when I was setting up my classroom, it was an absolute disaster. All the desks were stacked up and I was overwhelmed. And I noticed this giant heaping box of classroom supplies with the coolest stuff around. And at the bottom of the box, she had placed this note card with the words, "New teacher card." On the back of the note card, she wrote a note explaining that I could play this card when I messed up. "You're new and make mistakes, but that's okay. Just play the new teacher card. Feel free to play this card when you mess up or when you don't know how things work and you need to ask for help. Play this new teacher card when you miss a meeting or you don't get every paper graded or when you have a lesson that fails. This is going to happen in your first year, but don't beat yourself up. Remember that success is about faithfulness rather than just results. Play the new teacher card and remember that mistakes are how we learn." The next year, when I looked at this new teacher card, I noticed that there was an expiration date at the bottom and it read never. And that's because every year is a new group, with a new set of lessons, new material that you're teaching, a new community that you're going to develop together. And ultimately, this new teacher card is an invitation to innovation. And for me, that's a reminder that we don't have to wait to innovate. Last week, I met my new cohort of pre-service teachers. And at the same time, I'll be watching this current cohort go into their practicum, like I mentioned before. In both cases, these emerging teachers will have wild ideas that they want to try out. Innovative concepts of epic projects that put students in the driver's seat. But over time, many of them will learn to push these ideas aside. They'll be in placements where they have scripted curriculum and the pressures to get students to pass all the standardized tests. They'll worry that their ideas won't work. What about classroom management? What about parents? What about administrators and what they'll think? What about my colleagues down the hall? They'll say things like, "Once I'm established, I can innovate. But for now, I just need to work on classroom management. Or I'll think about transforming practice after I have a few years under my belt. Years will go by and they'll wait for permission that never comes. And eventually, those ideas can fade into a distant memory, a relic of that idealistic new teacher. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can play the new teacher card. I want you to imagine right now that there's a flow chart, and there's the question, am I sure this will work? If the answer is yes, you get the status quo. But if the answer is no, you get innovation. Now, we need the status quo. There's nothing wrong with that. The status quo is what gives you best practices. But in that no category, that innovation side, that's where you get next practices. And I think we need to provide students with next practices. The truth is, there's no guarantee that these strategies will work. If I think about something like PBL, I can point out all of the critical skills, durable skills, soft skills, whatever you want to call it, that students will learn. I can talk about deeper learning and how they improve and how that will help them navigate a complex future. Those things are guaranteed. I've seen them work before. But it always feels a little bit risky when it comes to doing project-based learning, because sometimes it feels like they might not learn the content perfectly well. There might be a misalignment between the standards that you're supposed to teach and the PBL that you've developed. And there are times when PBL doesn't work, and that feels like a failure. But the truth is, there's time when worksheets don't work. There's times when lecture doesn't work. There's times when a lot of those strategies don't work. And in these moments, we need to play the new teacher card. So with that in mind, I want us to think about what it means to play this new teacher card, to take creative risks as a teacher, in a way that we empower students to take creative risks themselves. When I was a middle school student, I dreaded the first week of school. Teachers would walk us line by line through the syllabus and the handbook. They talk about classroom procedures. It was as if the school started a week before the learning started. But then I remember one year where my teachers were different. Mrs. Smoot and Mr. Darrow, they had us asking questions, chasing our curiosity, and ultimately working on an epic project. Did they cover procedures? Yes, they did. And are there student-centered ways to cover procedures? Yeah, we talked about that on a recent podcast. You can do the procedure grid or rituals grid. You can do a scavenger hunt or a escape room to learn where items are in the classroom. But I remember feeling this sense of wonder when I was in their classroom. And that felt different. So with that in mind, I want to share 10 different ideas where we can embrace this concept of creativity and wonder in the first week of school. And honestly, some of these are things you might do in the first week. Some of these are things you might do in the second or third week. There's a lot of different ways that we can approach this. But the idea is, early on in the school year, we can embrace this idea of creativity. And so I'm going to share a few different ideas here. So number one is get started with student blogging. Thematic blogs are a great way to tie into student interests and passions. It could be a foodie blog, sports blog, fashion blog, you name it. And what I love about this is I call these geek out blogs, but it's the notion of letting students choose topics that they geek out on and then blog about it. And the upside of the standards, whether you're teaching Common Core standards or the Texas standards or whatever it may be, the truth is all of those standards are essentially topic neutral. So this is a chance to take a strength-based perspective where students are getting to take creative risks in terms of blogging, but they're also at the same time leaning into their own expertise. And so they're building from a place where they are strong in their content knowledge of whatever it may be. Again, fashion, sports, what you name it. But they're going to learn how to convey those ideas and to engage in writing and reading and research and maybe even presenting and speaking. You can tie these into a topic like social studies by bringing in the social studies method standards as well. So have them, you know, analyzing primary sources, looking at cause and effect, doing a timeline connecting to the history of whatever their nerdy subject is. And again, it's basically genius hour, but it's more structured, right? Because it's requiring students to engage in ELA standards, where no matter what, they are going to be doing reading, they're going to be doing research. And again, if you look at all of those standards, they are essentially, you know, topic neutral. You can also have students do something like a Wonder Day or Wonder Week project. This is where they engage in the inquiry-based process, where they're going to ask questions, they're going to engage in research, and they can ask any question they want about blank. So ask any question you have about the history of, you name it, and it could be chocolate, it could be the history of, you know, World War II, it could be the history of the Egyptians, and they can choose any topic they want. And again, those standards that you're practicing are the social studies method standards. In science, it could involve any topic related to the larger scientific concept you're teaching. So any question you have about chemistry. And if you struggle, if students, I should say, struggle with coming up with questions, give them some sample questions that they can use. And then say, modify those sample questions, or give them a list of topics that you're going to be covering over the course of the year. Or just allow them to ask any science-related questions. They might want to know, you know, why are boogers different colors? Or they might want to know, why does body odor smell? And all of those are great opportunities to just engage in a very short, quick scientific inquiry. The third idea is to do sketchnote videos. This is where you could do something similar to the old Common Craft videos. I love those concepts where they're almost like stop animation videos. You can have students drawing on the whiteboard and recording those and creating edited videos. You could do something like a deep dive, you know, week-long video project where they're going to edit with software. It's up to you how you do it, but it's basically doing these sketchnote videos. All right, number four is going to be really similar. It's the idea of having them do straight up sketch notes. So this is where they're going to do a more creative style of note taking, where they're going to, you know, share how ideas are connected to each other, how they relate to each other. And this can be really tough for secondary students who are often nervous about their drawing style, but remind them that the focus is on the learning, not the artistic expression. That even if it's messy, it's okay. The goal is to get your ideas across. The next idea is to launch a design thinking sprint. If you listen to the episode I did on sprints, mini projects, and full PBL units, you know, I talked about a lot of different ideas that you could do. You could do something like the Create a Sport project or the Create a Children's Toy project. It could be something that's more direct. So it could be a design thinking sprint that relates to designing a bridge. I love doing the UN Goals project where they have to create a short PSA video connected to how a particular issue relating to the UN goals affects their local community. So those are all ways that you could do this idea of little design sprints. Similarly, you can do what I call maker challenges. And this is where you do a Maker Monday project and you give them a set of materials, a short challenge. It could be building towers, it could be creating objects, finding unusual ways to do it. And that leads to my next idea of doing a divergent thinking mini project. This is where students come up with as many uses as they can to do blank. And So they think divergently about the materials they're using, and then they have to use those materials to create something entirely new. The next idea is similar to the Geek Out blogs, but it's to do a full-scale Genius Hour project. This is where they might learn a new skill, they might design a new product, but it's basically a 20% time activity that you launch the first week of school. It needs to be structured. You need to make sure that students have a blueprint or a guideline in terms of where they're going. But doing a Genius Hour project can be a really powerful idea. The next one that we can do is to create a podcast together. So this is the notion of students recording their own podcast. And there's a lot of great examples of podcasting projects. It could be connected to that Wonder Day project that I mentioned. So you do something called a Curiosity Cast. It could be a back and forth Socratic seminar style discussion on an important topic. You could do a book review podcast where they come up with, like, you know, whether they would recommend a particular book that they're doing. So not a super schoolish book report, but actually one where they're doing a true review and interviewing each other on why they would recommend the book that they just read. It could be a podcast related to local current events or even like a local history podcast. So a living history, oral history podcast that captures the stories in their own community. It could be a fictional podcast that has that sort of vibe of an old-timey radio. There's a lot of different ways that you can do this. And what I love about podcasts is it just requires a recorder. It could be a mobile recorder. It could be a phone, whatever it may be. As long as you just have some space that's quiet enough. But honestly, with the new AI tools that do a better job with filtering the background noise on audio, even that is getting easier to do. Another thing that you can do is a show and tell activity. What I love about this is they bring in an item. They can take a picture of the item if you're worried about it. And they can talk about an item that represents their culture. Or they could bring in an item that represents their nerdy interests, which goes really well into that idea of Geek Out blogs. Or they could bring in an item that represents a powerful memory. And they just talk about this item and why it is significant to them. Finally, you could do something like a Scratch video game together. There's a whole guide on the blog post that connects to this video, but this is a chance to build a game from scratch, drawing the items, or they're called sprites, and scanning them, adding them to Scratch, or actually just drawing it straight on the Scratch program. And what I love about Scratch video game projects is it's teaching coding in terms of the logic of coding and the systems of coding. And I would say in a world of AI, that type of thinking about coding is going to be really important rather than focusing solely on just the language of code. In the end, what we can do as educators is model creative risk taking. We can show students what's working and not working in our own world in terms of creative risk taking. You could do a Genius Hour project and share your creative journey. You could ask students to evaluate your lessons and talk about what's working and not working and why you iterate in your own creative process as a teacher. You can apologize when things don't work. And you can also do creative work as they do it. Yes, of course, you want to be observing students, you want to be assessing them, but sometimes if they're doing a Genius Hour project or they're working on a sketchnote video or whatever it may be, you can make an exemplar at the same time that they're making one, and you can model the process and just say, hey, I'm learning this as I go as well. In the end, the most powerful creative element in the classroom is you as a teacher. You have the power to inspire students to take creative risks. And this happens when you model the process and are open and even vulnerable with your own journey. You have the power to create big, epic learning experiences that encourage students to take creative risks. And so I would encourage you, as we think about this upcoming year, to ask, what are ways that I can start out by having students engage in creative risk-taking, because when that happens, you will have better group cohesion, better collaboration, and students will be known from day one. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you be sure to click the little subscribe button? Maybe tell a friend about it. Word of mouth is still one of the best ways to find out about podcasts. And leave a review. Leaving a review allows more people to find the podcast, but it also helps me know how I'm doing as a podcaster and an educator. So again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.